again, and he's got it!
Gavin was closing in. Oh, Gavin has scored!
Abdul Osman against Brad Jones to put Liverpool out of the cup and Northampton 3! Yeah! Northampton
have got it! Hello, I'm Charles Commins. Welcome to It's All Cobblers to Me, the podcast for Northampton Town fans and the FSA Club Podcast of the Year. This week, it's been a happy Easter for the Cobblers on the pitch as they record back-to-back wins for the first time since February. Coming up, we're talking about our Easter haul, our promotion chances, and we'll be sharing our thoughts on the Trust decision to invoke their right to bid for the old Athletics track land covered by the ACV. But first up, let me introduce you to the rest of the team. Hello to Danny Brothers and Neil Edgerton-Scott. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Have you got any room left?
We are the cheeky boys. We are the cheeky boys. This is the cheeky pod. This is the cheeky pod.
Speaking of
out
cheekiness,
of context, that sounds ridiculous.
It does, doesn't it? I'm going to not fill in any context whatsoever, and everyone can imagine that Danny is just really weird. Easter. Have we all eaten so much chocolate that we never need to see another Cadbury's advert again in our lives?
No, Charles.
No.
I don't think you can ever get to that point where you eat enough chocolate.
My missus would agree. Definitely.
My dog, however, has had a spending time over the last
No. First things first, I want to clarify, how is the little doggo?
She is fine.
Good.
And she was impacted by only one, what I would describe as a chocolate poo. outside of that, she was absolutely fine.
You've had many of those, haven't you, Neil?
More beer ones.
Oh, dear. You didn't really have many Easter eggs this week.
No,
I understand.
The dog had them all. Yeah, broke into the kids' room, ate 3.5 full Easter eggs.
Oh, dear.
Foil and all.
So that's going to say, was that Martin Foyle and everything as well?
It was Martin Foyle and everything. Everything, yeah. Well, apart from actually left some of the boxes. Didn't fancy them, obviously. All got full.
Cardboard. Too filling. Cardboard.
Yeah. Yeah, don't want to fill up on cardboard.
No, goodness no. It was a very happy Easter. I will say, just go back to this. Obviously, you're a fan of chocolate, Neil.
Who isn't?
Well, I am a fan of chocolate. However, this is an actual conversation that I had with Nicola over the weekend.
Yeah.
Wouldn't it be great if there was also a weekend a bit like Easter where, obviously take out the religious side of it.
Cheese!
And no, I was going to say crisps. Ooh. If I could have a weekend where I just got loads of crisps and I was allowed to eat crisps, I'd be in heaven.
I do feel like crisps have got a limit on
them. Oh, really? And chocolate doesn't?
No.
No.
Comes in many forms, doesn't it?
It does. Yeah, you're right.
So do crisps.
Yeah.
That's also true. Many flavors.
Anyway, enough of that.
I think I would prefer a cheese weekend.
Mm. Yeah, cheese weekend.
Yeah.
I mean,
you know when they do that cheese rolling down the hill?
Yes.
Get that in there.
I don't know what weekend that is, but that should be the weekend nominated.
Okay. Brilliant. I enjoy that. We did have a very good weekend on the pitch.
Hello.
Two games, one away from home, one at home. Keep up, everyone. And we won both of them. Incredible scenes. Hashtag scenes, Danny.
Oh, yes. Sorry. I was looking at the cheese championships.
Oh,
sorry.
What is it?
Off guard. 2020 and 2021 were obviously cancelled. There's no date for 2022 yet.
Ooh.
I got distracted because there's a section on Wikipedia saying injuries.
Oh, no.
Apparently, the local rugby club and the young farmers volunteer their services to act as catchers for any participants who lose their balance.
Nice.
So there we go. That's cheese.
Should we enter it next year?
I think we should.
Aren't we going to be too busy trying to get the Dean Pier corridor?
Oh, yeah.
We could do a podcast out into the cheese championships.
The grand opening of the Dean Pier corridor.
Or the water park.
Or the water park, yeah, indeed.
Although, we combine the water park with cheese rolling and just cheese rolling? That hill.
Oh, it's perfect for it.
There's a use for the North Stand Hill.
We could have the first inaugural podcast cheese rolling championship. down the Six Fields Hill.
Can we promise that if we go up, we will do that?
If we get promoted, yeah, we'll get a big massive cheese.
An Edam.
No, you can't. You're an Edam.
Baby Bell.
But you'd have to be a big one. You wouldn't see it.
Well, that is an Edam, isn't it? Isn't
a grown up.
No, not quite.
Small Edam.
No, not quite, I don't think.
Okay. All right, then. Fair enough.
We should do that, though. Yeah, if we get promoted, we'll do it.
We'll have a race.
Okay.
We'll get people turn up.
I'm enjoying this.
You break your leg, you're on your own.
Tim Oglethorpe commentating.
Yeah.
It's Edam. Oh, no, sorry, that's Cheddar. Sorry, Tim. Love you.
Oh. Bless you. So, yes, scenes, Danny, as I was saying.
Scenes, yeah, sorry, scenes. Back to scenes, yeah. Lots of scenes, quite comfortable scenes, clean sheet scenes, ooh, and my favourite, Louis Apere scenes.
Yes, he was very, very good, I believe, in both of these games. That's my opinion.
He was. He has been good, though, hasn't he?
Share it?
Yes. Good. I believe in life after love, Charles, so I will share it. He has been good for most of the time. He's been lacking that finish, hasn't he? So it feels like once he got that goal at Oldham, he's puffed his chest out, and it was noticeable today. I thought today as we're recording on Monday, his chest was pumped out, and he felt more confident to do everything that he was doing. Like the little setup for the Hoskins goal, the first one. How he took the second goal. I thought he just generally looked on Monday like a striker who's going to score a goal now.
Yes.
I'm going to say, yeah, he has been better. But I think actually the difference is we've stopped lumping balls up to him.
Yeah.
Certainly against Harrogate, there were more balls into his feet and more directed passes. I'm not by any stretch of the imagination suggesting we suddenly turned into Barcelona or anything. But there was definitely, it felt like a more conscious effort to play more into his feet and more to his strengths, and having a bit more. I mean, they've only played together for two games, but there seems to be a bit of chemistry between the front three or four now, which is great.
Yeah, I think we all noticed that chemistry, didn't we, while we were watching the game? Lots of messages flying back between us, and that was definitely one that all of us seemed very, very happy with. I mean, if you just, I think out of the front, if we just take the front three as being Apere, and then Apere, and Hoskins as the front three, then I think, I mean, it was very noticeable against Harrogate that both Hoskins and Apere, I mean, they were the scorers, of course, so that bumps up their rating slightly. But I thought both of them had really, really good games. Epier was good, don't get me wrong, but he didn't have the impact necessarily that I thought he was going to, having what he did on against Oldham on Friday, because it was his cross, wasn't it, for Apere's goal against Oldham, and it was that little switch that where he moved to the right, because Hoskins played a lot on the left, didn't he, in the second half against Harrogate, I think, and that seemed to be a purposeful switch that had happened in the second half against Oldham, and as soon as it happened we scored the second, Epier crossing in for Apere to finish. And I did think that with our first goal against Harrogate, don't get me wrong, I'm not saying he had a bad game, by the way, Epi. I just think that the other two were noticeably better. But there is that thing of that mentioned for the first goal. I mean, I thought the whole move was absolutely brilliant. And the fact that the front three were all involved in it, one after the other, for then Sam to score and finish it off, was really good. I really enjoyed that goal. More so than I think I have done for a little while. I think the last time I enjoyed a goal as much as I did today was when we Etete scored against Tranmere, the one that basically was a cross from the left-hand side from Pinnock, and he then sort of stretched to get it home. And I seem to remember enjoying that because they'd been practicing that exact move in the warm-up. So to see it then happen in the game was really good. I really enjoyed that, but the goal against Harrogate as well. I enjoyed that one. It was very good to see all three of them linking up well together. And obviously it was a case of them knowing where each other were. Like Epia sort of knocked it down back towards Apare, who then controlled it fairly well and then did a little jinky turn to then lay it back for Hoskins for him to tuck it into the back of the net. I thought it was just genius the way that they clearly all knew where the other should or was going to be. It was great.
Yeah, it's the second goal as well. The third Hoskins goal where Epia got the ball, gave it to Apare, and he fed Hoskins. And it's starting to show that they're understanding each other's movements a bit more. They know, like you said, we know each other where they're going on the pitch. And it's just to be a settled front three because we've had so many games, so many run of games where Labala's been in, someone else has been in. There's been swapping and changes. Zimba's been in a little bit. It's just not felt like there's ever been any pattern to our attacking play, like we've said before on the pod, that it's been really frustrating. But even against Bradford, I'd say we did well in that respect. And we said there was a little bit more balance to the attack. And that's now three games, I think, with them playing up front together. And they seem to have really hit on something. And that, I think, is great timing, if anything.
That ball through, Neil, for Hoskins is for second goal.
Yeah.
I can't remember who it was that did it.
It was Apare, wasn't it?
It was Apare.
Oh, it was a beautiful pass through to split the defence, wasn't it? And then for Hoskins, I mean, look, we all know that Sam, when he's got a bit of time, doesn't tend to really put it away. But that was a proper striker's finish from Sam Hoskins. I was delighted to see it go in. It was chef's kiss. I'm glad you all agree.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, so I thought you were asking.
I didn't know that was a question. That's a chef's kiss. I was like, oh, okay, good.
It was satisfying because it was so quickly after the second goal, which always is nice, which got the crowd going a bit more. But it was satisfying in the way it hit the net as well. I enjoyed it. It's a lovely finish.
I do like it when they go in like that. It has to be said. I enjoy it tremendously. But I did think that, because it was strange because before we scored, it felt like we were, again, and this happened against Oldham, didn't it? And I think it was Jake Sharp that mentioned it in the commentary for the Oldham game, where we seemed to just be, after 15 minutes of basically going at them, we then just take our foot off the gas and we end up playing quite, I don't want to use the word dull, but
yeah, it was dull.
It is dull. Yeah, you're right. Not very quick, quite slowly. And it's all kind of sideways or backwards. And that was something that, I was watching on iFollow today against Harrogate. And it was something that Luke Graham picked up on very well, I thought, which is that a lot of the time, the midfield two, whether it's McWazza or if it's Sowerby, their initial thought is always to pass it back or sideways rather than go forwards. There were a couple of times when players were making really good runs forward and it didn't have to be just the two central midfielders. I think McGowan did it a couple of times where he could have threaded it down the line for one of the front three to go chasing for it. And instead he chose to sort of turn and pass it back inwards to either Horsall or Guthrie. Or vice versa on the other side of the pitch as well. It felt sometimes like we just didn't really want to go at them all the way. I wondered whether it's maybe something to do with trying to conserve some energy, whether it's kind of the way that we want to play, the way that is exciting to watch is obviously run and get at them. We've got quick players in the side, like we've got Koike and then we've got Epia. Hoskins as well. You know, they're quick players, but it's almost like we're trying to be conservative about our approach and make sure that they are fit for the whole 90 minutes and aren't just going hell for leather for, 20 and then for them to run out of puff in the, come 70th minute. I don't know whether that's something that either of you guys saw. Nope, good. It's not going very well tonight, is it?
It was really long. I was distracted.
You switched off. Okay.
Yeah, you were talking for ages and I started listening, if I'm honest, Charles. And then I was like, oh, I'm not sure where he's going with this. And then I caught the end of it. So I'm not sure how much I can add, but I think what you're saying is that sometimes we're a bit slow and sometimes we look to pass backwards rather than forwards, which is true. But I think that's probably partly the payoff we kind of at the moment have to accept, right? Because I think without that, we potentially don't keep as many clean sheets.
Do you not have the faith in the back four then?
It's not, but so I do, absolutely. But John Brady said this in his interview post Harrogate, that I think it might have been, I don't know whether it was the Football League Show interview, whoever it was, it wasn't one of the BBC Northampton crew interviewing him, it's someone else. It was like only a 1 minute clip that they put up on YouTube. But the interviewer said, and that's your 21st clean sheet. And John Brady was very, very quick to point out that's down to the whole team. That's not just down to the defence and the goalkeeper, which actually I thought was a really, really good point. And I think if you have, so Mwaza is a defensive midfielder, isn't he? You know, he can pass it, don't get me wrong, but he's not like, you know, a Steven Gerrard box-to-box type midfielder, really. He is a defensive midfielder. He does that dirty stuff. He puts his foot in and he breaks up play and then gives it to someone else. I'm not sure what Sowerby is. I think Sowerby is supposed to be the more creative, flairy one, but he's not really, is he? He's a bit of a just, you know, get it and pass it along and stuff. So I think I understand why I don't think it's naturally in either of their sort of first thought process. So that I think the first thought process is to make sure the ball's secure and they don't give it away. Which I think is okay. But it can be boring.
It's when we come up against better teams, it's being tested, isn't it? I expected us to be being really pressed at Oldham last week, but we weren't. And I think it just forces us into almost that patient build-up, doesn't it? I'll probably say it again just so it doesn't happen at the weekend, but I think Orient's going to be the type of place where it's going to be quite tight and closed in, where we might not have as much time to do it. So it'll be a big test of that again on Saturday. But I don't have a massive issue with it for winning games. It's when we're losing and when we're one or two goals down and we're still doing it. That's the issue, I think, sometimes, isn't it?
And I think you have to argue as well that perhaps maybe they've been burned a little bit, because a lot of the time, sometimes, certainly previously, when they've passed it forward, it's come straight back.
That's true. I'm going to caveat this next comment with, obviously, I'm not saying that we're as good as this. However, I was watching the Liverpool versus City semi-final on Saturday.
You sound like Jake Sharp comparing bloody Jean-Pierre Papin to Harry Kane after the game.
Oh, wow. No. I was just going to say, there were a few times when Liverpool looked like they were going to break and obviously City would get back. So Liverpool then slowed their attack down almost purposefully. And sometimes it would go all the way back to the back four. And they'd look to then restart again. And I wonder whether it's basically something that's come in through the generations, you know, into the now, this is how football is kind of played, is that you look to keep the ball and, you know, you just recycle possession in order to then look for another space to then attack. And if that then gets closed down, you basically retain possession and slow it all down again and look for another avenue to get through. Obviously, we're nowhere near as good at doing it as, say, Liverpool are. But I'm just wondering whether that's something that has just cascaded down the leagues, and maybe that's now just how football is almost to be played, and that's how managers will set their teams up to play. I think that's fair, or I think I'm just talking ball as usual.
No, I think that makes sense. And I think the theory is, right, if you've got the ball, the other team can't score.
Mm-hmm. That is a good point.
Having the control of the ball is, you need the ball to score and win as well, right? So I get it, and it makes sense. I think if it's done properly, it works and it's exciting. If it's not done properly, it is boring as hell.
But I think having Mwaza back especially is key to that as well, isn't it? Because
absolutely,
when we were playing Abimbola, or who else was playing there, Pollock a little bit, they tried to do it, but I don't think they could do it as well as Mwaza does it in terms of distribution and having the confidence in him to hold on to the ball. I think he's really key.
Out of Sorry, Neil, go on.
No, you go, Charles. I'm interested.
Well, I was going to kind of move on. So if you've got something else to add to that, you go ahead.
No, I was only going to say I hope we're able to keep hold of him in the summer because I think he may be one of the ones that we're going to struggle.
It doesn't sound too promising, or at least it didn't do a while back. I think it was the Rochdale game. After the Rochdale game, Tim Oglethorpe asked him that question about the contract and got a very non-committal answer, almost no answer whatsoever. It was more of a move on, please, from Sean Williams.
I think that's fair enough if you don't know what league you're in either, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean, he probably is getting to that point. He needs to stay fit, doesn't he? And he needs to get a decent chunk of games without being out of the team. But he is, when he plays well, I would say he looks above League Two now.
So obviously we've played two games in a short space of time. We've played both games with the same starting 11 and the same, well, full 18, haven't we? I know not necessarily the same subs for both games, but I wanted to ask both of you, because it's unusual that we get to talk about two games, you know, on this pod. Normally we're just looking at one game at the weekend. Out of those two, which one do you think was the better win?
Ask me before the weekend, I would have said Oldham. Mm-hmm. Ask me now, probably Harrogate, in terms of the performance.
Is that because the context changed? Because I
expected more from Oldham.
Okay.
I expected them to be right in our face and attacking us and the crowd to be right on our backs, but it just wasn't any of that, was there?
No.
And I would have been so frustrated if we'd have ended up drawing that game. It would have been a massive chance missed. I think they're both impressive. Like, to win two games in 4 days with the same starting 11, that's impressive in itself. So I think that's deep. That's good. Probably the Harrogate one is slightly more impressive in the way we played, but it's close.
Did you agree with that, Neil?
Yeah, the Harrogate second half was probably the the most impressive half of football out of the four halves. But no, win's a win either way, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean, they were completely on the promenade with Bradford, weren't they?
They were. they were on the deck chairs. So were Oldham, though.
Well, yeah, that was the weird thing about it, wasn't it? You expect them to be, like, really going for it. And bless him, Nicky Adams tried his best. But they just feel like they're just gone now, don't they? They feel like after that red card they had as well.
They looked devastated, didn't they? Oh, they just... they were atrocious as well, weren't they? They were really poor.
I mean, I think you sometimes forget how much better.
But Harrogate could at least pass it to each other occasionally.
It wasn't that often. I'd say they gave it away more than we used to.
They gave it away a bit, but Oldham were genuinely... They watching Oldham, I thought, this is a non-league team. These are terrible. I thought they were really, really poor. Yeah.
But we said that about Scunthorpe as well, and only got a point there, and everyone else has gone there. So I think you've still got to go and do a job, haven't you? And it's good that we've actually come away from it unscathed and scored a couple of goals. And after that Bradford game, we were so frustrated. We said we have to win these two games, and we've done it and put ourselves right back into the top three.
Absolutely. The promotion train is back on.
It's back on. It's leaving the station again.
Yeah, he's saying.
I mean, the other results just on Monday went spectacularly the way we kind of would, all of us I think would want them to go. I mean, Port Vale lost, and that's I suppose the most important match from Monday other than our own, because they're the ones occupying third and therefore the final automatic promotion spot. So we now find ourselves just 2 points behind them thanks to Bristol Rovers' win, I think at Port Vale. It was at Vale Park.
It was.
I mean, they've just gone the way... I mean, it was weird in that second half when we were playing so well. So first of all, it was like, oh, this is comfortable. This doesn't usually feel this way. And then also you're looking elsewhere and you're kind of going, hang on a minute. Things are going well for us in other games as well. This is really good. Mansfield lost to Carlisle, and I know that we'll want to cover this on the Basement Tales pod for the Patreons, Danny, so I won't go too in-depth into it. But you're looking at it now in that league table, and you are saying to yourself, if we win our remaining three games, I'd back us to now take that third spot.
But it's almost in our hands, isn't it? Because Port Vale play Exeter on the last day of the season.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, so I think somebody's
got to have to play Exeter, of course. So
yeah. The only thing about Exeter is they've got a game in hand and it's against Barrow.
Barrow, though, you know, they're fighting.
They beat Forest Green, didn't they?
Beat Forest Green, yeah.
Drew 2-2 today.
Yeah,
on Monday.
Putting up a fight, yeah. So it's not completely done and dusted, but I think if we win the three games, we might well go up.
The one thing that I will be a bit...
And the cheese rolling championships commence.
Yes.
The one thing that I'd be a bit worried about, and it might be my maths, so forgive me here. So there are 9 points on offer now, aren't there, from
these
three games. Yeah. Thank you. First bit of maths.
Three.
Successfully,
gone. You got the abacus out.
I have, yeah. So that would see us on 84 points.
Yes.
So you're saying that, therefore, Port Vale, who also have three games left, may well drop points against Exeter. So the most that they, the most that they can obviously get is 84 points. So
they've also got Newport in between, which is a tricky old tie as well.
So you're more or less, guys, going on the basis of the
us beating Exeter, Exeter beating Port Vale, done.
Yeah,
It's more a case of other results.
Yeah, it's not quite in our own hands. It's not okay. It's not far off.
No,
but I was going to say, just doing the maths there, I was like, hang on a minute, we'll get
It's not like
we'll
literally
83. Okay.
I think the way it's going, if we win three, we're up.
Yeah, I agree with that. But I think if we win all three games, we'll get promoted.
Is it likely to happen? Probably not.
No, it's one of the. But and I think Mike Fuller on the Slack, which is that regardless of whether we would go up on automatically or not, if we win the last three games, that is good form to be going into the playoffs with.
Yeah, so that's exactly it, isn't it?
Positives all round.
Yeah,
it's a risk though, isn't it? I think
playoffs are always a risk.
No, I mean it could. So if you go into the last game of the season knowing that a win potentially might get you automatic promotion, you get that win, but you still end up in the playoffs, there is that then element of...
I think it's worse. Much as if you lose that game and you could
I think
have...
it's worse, yeah. I think
yeah.
it's worse.
Yeah, that's true.
If you're third and drop out, I think that's worse. Mm. Whereas if you've won the last game, you've actually... And you weren't, maybe in the back of your mind, you weren't expecting the other result to go your way.
Yeah,
I don't think it's that bad. I think just win three games.
Either way, I don't think it's going to be a problem. I think we'll finish third. So.
I would very much enjoy that.
Which I will remind you who predicted us to finish third at the start of the season.
Okay.
Unbelievably, it was me.
It was you.
Unbelievable.
Well, look, I guess we should discuss the other thing. The East
Is there an elephant
saga.
In the room, Charles?
There's a huge elephant in the room.
And is it Nelly?
Is it featuring Kelly?
Brilliant. I'll be honest with you. To start off with, there were actually points where I was asking people, should we even bother talking about it? Should
Did you
we
put
go
it out to a vote?
Road? I didn't put it out to a vote, Neil. No.
You should have done.
No, I did just ask some people, including some of our patrons. I said, should we mention it? Do you want us to talk about it? And everybody more or less just said, well, I think it would be really weird if you didn't mention it. So let's discuss it. So the East Stand saga took another twist this week with the Supporters Trust invoking their right to basically attempt to bid for the, to buy the land that is covered by the ACV, which is an asset of community value that the Trust themselves applied for a few years ago. I can't remember the exact details of when that was, but essentially what the ACV allows is for any community group to basically bid for that land. It doesn't have to be sold to them, but it does have to be listened to, if that makes sense. The bid has to be listened to. So they now have, I think it's 4.5 months remaining of a 6-month period to basically get a proposal together, which would include funding to purchase that land and to go to the seller, who is West Northants Council, and basically say, can we buy this land, please? This is what we're intending to do with it, or other things that might be in the proposal. It obviously caused a bit of a stir, and that's saying it lightly. So what are your thoughts, boys? Danny, I'll come to you.
I think it's probably important to say before we start giving our views that we've all discussed this on WhatsApp group and stuff like that, and this is our individual opinions. It's, we all probably are singing from the same hymn sheet in terms of what our opinions are, but it could easily have been one of us that doesn't agree with us, if that makes any sense. I think we are going to try and get someone on to represent the other view. My personal view is that this is probably the final straw in terms of the trust as it is at the minute, in terms of what they're doing. It made me actually just really sad on when it came out. Like in a year when we should be celebrating, 125 years of the club. We should be celebrating the trust birthday itself. I think 30 years. We should be celebrating Wembley, all this kind of thing. We could potentially be celebrating a promotion, and in the background is all this nonsense. And like the club have categorically said that if they do this, it's going to be a delay. It's going to create a delay in the process. And that's the last thing we need right now, is another delay. And I think for the trust to come out and do this, to do a vote, potentially not every member has been contacted, whatever happens to that, I'm not sure, I don't know if any of you know. For it to be such small margins in the vote, it feels like the final straw for me, and as the trust as it currently stands, getting any kind of support, because I just don't agree with what they're doing at all. I had it said to me on social media, well, you should be joining and voting then. I was like, well, it's not as easy as just saying, if you don't agree with something, go and join them and make change happen from within. I get the sentiment of it, but and it's not to compare them to this group of people, but I don't agree with anything that the Conservative Party say, but I'm not going to go and join them because I don't like how they run and I don't like how their attitudes towards stuff. And it's the same with this. I don't agree with what they're doing. And I don't like the sense that I get from people involved. I don't like some of the stuff they've done over the last couple of years on social media and attacking people and attacking the club, attacking people that I like Tom Cliff and some members of staff. And it just doesn't sit well with me at all, the whole thing. And I've been trying to give them enough chances. I've been trying to say, well, maybe they can work together. I feel like, in my opinion, the club have given them chances to do that as well. And it's just come back to this, and it makes me sad, but it makes me angry as well that it's come to this.
My biggest issue with it all is it's not, well, I suppose it is, but I'll be honest, it, as ridiculous as it sounds, it makes me not want to even bother with Cobblers. Because it's so very easy to say, well, just concentrate on the football. It's really hard, especially with social media and stuff. Because you see things, you hear things, you know, you read things, all that sort of stuff. People are talking about it and stuff. It just makes it no fun to follow the Cobblers at the moment. And my biggest issue, actually, with one of the points that you made, Danny, is it was kind of how some of the people linked to the trust, and it's not all of them, by the way, but how some of the people linked to the trust conduct themselves. And it is quite frankly like a playground at times, and you can point out a fault in the trust and they will bounce back with, what about the club? What about this? What about that? And that is not taking feedback on board. That is not accepting shortcomings and, you know, striving to be better or anything. That is whataboutery, which is common at the moment. It's funny you mentioned the Conservatives. It's the same time any staunch Conservative supporter, you know, tries to back Boris Johnson. Oh, what about Starmer? He was caught having a drink and things like that. And it's like, you know, look, two wrongs don't make a right, or whatever the saying is. I just think they could deal with it. They've got some people, I think, involved in the trust who shouldn't be, personally. And that, I mean that on a, I don't mean that as a personal attack on those people. What I mean is the way they conduct themselves and the way they put their views across naturally gets people's backs up, and it naturally comes across as combative. And a little bit, it puts it across as a little bit like a secret club at times. I've lost count the number of times a few of the people involved in the trust, or certainly close or advising the trust, whatever you want to call it, have said, well, if you knew everything, your opinion would change. Well, tell us everything then. Well, we can't. It's commercially sensitive. Well, you're no different to the club then, are you? It's things like that that's kind of like, look, and maybe there is some grand thing going on in the background. Maybe, you know, Kelvin Thomas and The owners are master criminals, but I would challenge that from what I know and from talking, you know, relatively regularly. You know, they're here to make some money. I don't think they hide that. It doesn't mean they're criminals. And it certainly doesn't mean that they're bad guys. And I just find it strange, Charles, because the argument, whatever the club, it feels to me that it's the owners that these people hate, not the idea. And that's how it comes across. They moan about, well, they're land grabbers and stuff. I mean, what the hell are Sildara then? Yeah, they might have bought the club. Yeah, they might have finished the East End. Same thing that the current owners are saying they're going to do. No different. So what's the difference? And what have the trust just done? Grabbed a bit of land. and the argument, and I know their argument is, well, we want to use it for the community benefit and stuff. If I'm being brutally honest, I don't give a shit about the community. I care about Northampton Town Football Club. I don't give a bollocks if there's a velodrome down there that some people can use once in a while. If that's not benefiting the football club as much as warehousing, put warehousing down there. Whatever's going to give the most money to the football club, that's all I care about. But I've no doubt that my opinion is wrong, and they'll tell me that soon enough when they listen.
I think this is the point, and this is the issue for me that I have it. So I'm going to come out and just say this completely straight. Cool. So I have issues with my mental health, okay? I've said that before on the pod. It has taken me quite a large amount of hours this week to make a decision. I still don't really think I've made this decision before I've opened my mouth just now, but to make the decision as to whether I'm really going to talk about it and give my opinion. And the reason for that is because I know that there is going to be a backlash. There is going to be a backlash.
Of course there is.
From people. And it's probably going to be along the same sort of lines as the, what, you know, happened on Twitter to the trust. Now, the first thing that I'm going to say is that, and I'm not saying that I've actually seen this necessarily, but anybody that has actually attacked any individuals that are on the board of the trust and called them names or done anything on social media, then I don't agree with you. You can disagree with their actions and you can disagree with the reasons why that you feel that they've done it, and that's absolutely fine, but nothing should ever get personal. So I'm just caveating that that has happened towards the trust. I'm not saying that it would definitely happen back to, say, myself or you or you, Danny and Neil. But
call me what you want. I don't.
But I'll be honest, it has entered my mind and I have thought to myself, it probably will happen. I'll get something sent my way on social media. So I'm kind of having to sort of prepare myself to give my opinion. And that's before I've even given it. But I've got 3 points. I might have a couple more as we go along. So Danny, you mentioned the thing about the vote itself and about the how they can contact people and how many people that were able to vote, etc., etc. I'll give you the answer. This was given at the last trust meeting which I went to. It was on Zoom on Thursday night. And it was confirmed in that meeting that the trust have currently 710 members, excuse me, of which they have email addresses for 350 of those people. And of those 350, they have permission to actually send things to 250 of them. So out of a membership of 710, the maximum amount of votes that they could have actually hoped to have successfully received back from their email that asked them to ask the membership to vote on whether or not they should invoke the ACV was 250. And was it about 187 or something that voted?
Ridiculously, someone didn't vote. They would have voted no, but they decided not to vote.
I've seen a few people say that.
Because they didn't want to cause a problem for the trust.
Possibly.
Like, okay, that's not, but never mind.
So that just to answer your question that you had before, Danny, and also possibly to answer questions that other people might have had as well, that was given. As far as I know, I wasn't told that I wasn't allowed to say anything about what happened in the meeting. So as far as I know, I'm just giving the information that they've shared. Should be in their minutes when that comes out, that should be available on their website, I would imagine. very quickly to go back to something that you said, Neil, about how, you know, it's made you feel quite down about the Cobblers. I know I'm paraphrasing you there. But I chose not to go to one of the closest games that I can get to, living in Warrington in the Northwest on Friday, away at Oldham, because I couldn't be bothered with it because of everything that had happened in the week. You know, that is a game that I would look forward to going to whenever we play them, because it's, I don't know, from my house, driving wise, half an hour, 40 minutes away. There's no reason that I wouldn't normally go to that game at all. I couldn't bring myself to be bothered enough to go, because I just felt so deluded, I suppose, by everything. Nothing to do with the actual on pitch and nothing to do with the team. And I know that I think I had a couple of people actually message me when I was messaging and talking to people. A couple of people were saying to me things like, don't let it affect your enjoyment of watching the actual football. And I said, I can't not. It's one of those things. I can't not help it affect me. So I decided, rather than go to the game and potentially have to talk about it to people, because, you know, that's what we all do, right? Is that we talk to each other about the football and we talk to each other about what's going on. Hell, that's why we started this podcast, was to do exactly that. I didn't really want to do it on Friday, so I didn't go to the game. I chose to, you know, watch it on iFollow instead. So it does affect people. It's not great that it affects people that way. And is it really beneficial to Northampton Town Football Club? I don't think it is. I don't think the infighting, I think at times both sides of this coin, the trust and the owners of the club, or the people that, you know, are in those meetings with each other, I think they're both as bad as one another sometimes. And part of me wants to do the old thing of just bang your heads together and just say, the pair of you need to just sort this out in private. Stop, you know, basically going off on things at each other in public. What's it doing? What's it actually gaining for you? I want to just say quickly as well, so I did go to the trust meeting on Thursday night. I think this was you, Danny, that was saying about it. You know, one of the things that quite often people say is, why don't you join the trust and get involved, help to shape it from the inside. I've been a life member since, I presume, since, you know, the late 90s. When I first got a season ticket with my dad, both me and my dad became life members. I actually found a share certificate the other week that came from the Supporters Trust. Yeah, I know. So I went to this meeting, and I asked to go to the meeting after the vote had been put out. So once I'd received the email, and I'd replied to say, no, I don't think you should invoke the ACV. The reason that I decided to vote no was because I thought to myself, well, it is going to delay the stuff with regards to the Yeag stand. And also, it's going to basically make the trust look really bad to the fan base, which I think has been proven as being essentially correct, just judging by the backlash that we've seen on social media. However, I went to that meeting wanting to not basically go in there and have a pop or to turn around and say, I think you're wrong or anything like that. I wanted to go because I wanted to find out how their meetings actually work, and I wanted to find out what their plans were moving forward. Yeah, they haven't got any plans yet, Neil.
Oh, okay.
Good. Yeah.
Brilliant.
I wanted to help where I could. I mean, look, I cannot give any time. You know, doing this podcast takes up an awful lot of time. I'm already, part of a committee for my running club. That takes up a lot of time. So I know how long these things take up, right, for people. And I'm not having a pop at anybody that goes ahead and does that. I'm also not saying that the people that are doing it right now are doing it, you know, for the wrong reasons. I don't believe any of them are necessarily. What I do think, judging by having been at that meeting, that there are some who aren't really bothered about being members of the trust and keeping the trust going, because as soon as it moves on to being actually about how the trust is run and how you do certain things, a fair few people just go quiet. And it becomes just a couple of people who actually do then talk about other things besides the East End and the land deal. Soon as that's done with, a lot of people seem to sort of switch off and don't get involved in the conversation. Now, that's just my viewpoint of what happened on the night. With regards to their emails and their GDPR thing, that I noticed that quite a lot of the time, the trust or people that are on the board of the trust say about how, you know, they can't contact everyone and it's too much time to get through to everyone and all this, that and the other. I went armed with some stuff that they could actually do to try and help move that on. So I'm hoping that they're going to take that on board and that they're going to be able to actually, you know, at least now get up to 350 people that they can contact, at least.
I do think they could make some really simple changes. Like, and the one thing I don't like as well is, well, I'm speaking from my personal opinion, not the trust's opinion. You're part of the trust. You're on the trust board. Therefore, we're going to take it as the trust opinion. That's how it works, unfortunately. Whether you like it or not, that's how it works. It's like an MP saying, well, this is just my own personal opinion. But
I'll tell you what it's like, Neil. It's like when Councillor Philip Bignall, who was also at the meeting, he makes a comment about how personally he thinks that the deal is already done. You know, the deal between, it's already been agreed. The council have already agreed to take on the deal that CDNL / the club's owners, therefore, have put forward. So it's very unlikely that they're going to now change their mind and do a deal with the trust for just this small portion of land. As soon as that was said, one or two, I can't remember exactly who it was, but there were definitely one or two voices jumped straight on that and asked the question, oh, that's what the council thinks, so this is a complete waste of time. And Councillor Bignall had to say, no, that's personally what I believe based on the information. So that what you're talking about, where people that are members of the Trust Board or former members of the Trust Board who like to turn around and say, this is just my personal opinion, it's not the opinion of the Trust, I think it's hypocritical based on what I saw in that meeting.
But I think it muddies the waters. This is the thing. And I understand everyone has their own views and stuff. Of course they do. And everyone should be entitled to those own views. If you're the voice of the supporters, as they claim to be, or if you're, you know, a group speaking for a larger group of people, that smaller group that's speaking for the larger group all need to be on the same page. They all need to have the same communications, and they all need to kind of communicate in a similar way. Whereas a lot of the time, there's a couple of them that, because you don't agree with them, they will shout louder and louder and louder to try and force you into their view. And it's okay to have a different view. Like, I genuinely have no issue with that. You know, some of the trust board or members or whatever it is that feel like this is the right thing to do.
Yeah.
Fine. That's okay. It doesn't, if that's their genuine thought, they're fans at the end of the day. So that's okay. For me, it's not about really the what, it's more about the how. That's what frustrates me most, because it drives this, what you were talking about earlier, Charles, it drives this us and them approach. It drives this affecting people's mental health and stuff. And we do have to remember they are all fans and they are all supporters of the club. And generally, from what I know, most of them are decent enough people. And that's a good thing. That where it falls down for me is when, well, you don't want the best for the football club then. Maybe I don't care quite as much as you. That's okay. You know, maybe I'm not invested in it quite as much. All I really care about is get the East End done, get a bit of a fan zone going, and a bit of, let's move forward a little bit. It's gone on so long. That's just my opinion. I'm not saying that that's right. That's just for me. That's what I want to happen. I don't really care about anything else. I certainly don't really care about sticking a velodrome there or sticking a Well, I do care about sticking a water park.
I know that's what you were going to say.
Yeah, I really care about that part. But it's just, it's more the how. And look, I no doubt there's been times where I've overstepped the mark and said stuff which is like, well, that's not a very nice way of talking about people and stuff. And that's fine. I apologise. And times get passionate and get carried away. Do you think, as a group of people that are representing the supporters, you cannot have members of the board ranting, raving and swearing at other people, even if they get that abuse themselves? They shouldn't, by the way. They shouldn't have to accept that abuse. That's not okay. Mm-hmm. But as a group of people and as that trust, you're going to get abuse thrown your way from time to time, unfortunately, as are the club and stuff. And they're not a professional group in the respect of they don't get paid, they're all volunteers, all that sort of stuff. And that doesn't matter, though. They're still representing supporters. And you just, for me, the minute they go off on a rant, one of them goes off on a rant, swears at other fans or, you know, whatever they might say, well, you're stupid, you're wrong, you're not reading it right. Well, no, I'm not wrong. It's just my opinion. In your opinion, you feel yours was right, I feel mine's right. Doesn't mean either of us are right or wrong. We don't really know. Let's be honest. Nobody knows at the moment. Nobody knows if the club intend to complete the East Stand. I choose to believe that that will be their intention. I think they've come too far down the road. I don't think they will, certainly if this deal gets done, I don't think there's any way they won't finish the East Stand. Yeah, it might not be a 15,000 stand with, I don't know, all your mod cons in it. You know, like those beers they have at Spurs that come up from the, you know, the bar. Maybe we won't get them. I mean, I hope we do, but maybe we won't. The other people choose to believe that they've got never any intention of completing. That's fine. That's what you choose to believe. You know, look, we can all believe different things. I'm not going to sit here and say, shout at you and tell you to believe my way, because that's just what I think. It's for me, I've ranted and rambled, sorry. It's more about the how as opposed to the what people are doing, if that makes sense. I would be much more likely to look favourably on the trust and look favourably on their approach if they'd have tried to bring us all along with them. And I don't think they have. And that's where they've gone wrong, in my opinion.
Yeah. One of their mission statement things on their website does say, one of their mission statements is to promote and strengthen the bonds between NTFC, its supporters, and the wider community. And I don't see any of that at the moment. If anything, it's getting further apart, isn't it?
Yeah, I mean,
when you're not delivering on your specific mission statements, I think you have got to take a look at yourself and think. Just take a step back and just think: are we actually doing what we set out to do in the first place? Is this what the trust is meant to be?
And that's the point. The trust is really important. A supporters' trust for a football club is super, super important.
As we've seen in the past with our own. I mean, it's
of course.
You mentioned before, Danny, about how this year is such a big year for the football club. I mean, you know, the 25 years since Wembley 97, 125th anniversary of the football club's birth, which, you know, the 30th anniversary of the formation of the Supporters Trust, the first Supporters Trust in the world, you know, something that shapes the way or certainly shaped the way that supporters have dealt with their football clubs for the last 30 years. You know, I mean, it is an important thing, and it is something that we should all be proud of as fans of Northampton Town, that we have an organisation. We had the first one where the supporters came together to not only rescue the football club, but then to hold the owners, the custodians of said football club, to account. And while I completely and utterly see where the people that are on that board at the moment are coming from when they say things like, all we're doing is asking questions, completely get that. The way that they've gone about it, and I've thought this for a long, long time now, is that the way that they've been perceived has been their downfall. And that is where it comes to. And I do think it's that thing. Andy Roberts is a very, very good spokesperson for the trust. I think he is quite straight down the line. He just says, you know, he'll just, like he did at the cabinet, or not the cabinet meeting, the full council meeting that was held. He basically read out the statement that the trust had released a few hours earlier on their website, right? There was no personal opinion put into that. It was just, you know, this is This is the Supporters Trust's viewpoint. And then you had two members of the Supporters Trust board speaking afterwards, giving their own personal opinions.
Yeah.
But the fact that they're both, well, one of them was introduced as being on the Supporters Trust board. The other one said it themselves that they were on the Supporters Trust board. That immediately makes most people, the layman, then go, well, this is what is being discussed by the trust at the board. And for those people that, because I would say that if you are a member of the Supporters Trust, you can ask to go along to a Supporters Trust meeting. They're held once a month. At the moment, they're still on Zoom. You can do it just like I did last week on Thursday. You can ask to go. They will send you the Zoom link and you just turn up. And I think it's at like 7:15 or 7:30 in the evening. Goes on for an hour or so. And you can be there. You don't have to necessarily speak. You can just go there and listen. And I do think, and I think this is important, is that you should go there and you should see it for yourself and you should see how they operate. And I think it might be unsurprising what you see.
Even the vote thing they did, I'm not sure they've totally understood GDPR correctly, but that's probably a longer conversation and not a very interesting one. They could quite easily have put a Google form together with a vote on it and limited it to one per IP address. It's really, really easy to do. I don't understand why they didn't do that. I don't get it.
This is my point of view with things like the GDPR issue for them. There are easy fixes for that, as you say. I gave them a way of doing
it. It's not
one of the things. So when this was brought up in their meeting about the GDPR thing, it was brought up because it was being used as another stick for people to beat them with, right? Mm-hmm. But it's been that stick, or there has been that stick for ages. People have used that card against the Supporters Trust for months.
Yeah.
And I sat there and I sat there for a further 10 minutes while it was discussed as how, you know, annoying it was essentially that they're being beaten by this stick. And I just thought to myself, so do something about it. So remove the stick.
Remove it.
And that's what I then did, was I put my hand up and I said, look, why don't you do this? Here's a tool that you could use that would handle your GDPR for you, that would do everything. It's free, by the way, so there's no real reason why you can't do it. Here you go. Go ahead. There's a thing. Move on and stop it being something that is used to beat you with. And the immediate response that I got from one person was, and I'm not having a go actually here, because I'll explain why in 2 seconds, but the response I got was, remove that and they'll only find something else to have a go at us about. And I was like, yes. And don't get me wrong, because actually on the time that I went to the Carlisle match, I was on the train with Tom Cliff and said a couple of things to Tom about, you know, things like the big screen being broken, the toilets not being very pleasant, all this, that, and the other. And Tom gave me a very, very similar response to what I'd got, you know, from the trust on Thursday. For both of those circumstances, the answer is that you keep removing the things that you're being beaten with until there are no things to be beaten with. Yes, there will be new things that come up, but then what you do is you take steps to fix those things and to put them right. That's how you do things, isn't it? That's how I would do things in my business. I wouldn't just sit there and let it manifest and continue to go wrong and wrong and wrong. Because
part of working and being in a business is firefighting, essentially, and fixing things. And when things go wrong, fix that. Oh, crap, someone else has broken out. Okay, well, let's go and fix that. This isn't working quite. Let's go and fix that.
Some things are easier to fix than others, but you just go ahead and you do it. And I just think that on that particular issue, it's been months where people have moaned, whether it be on social media, on the hotel end, on whatever other medium that there is, people have moaned about the fact that the trust keep hiding behind them. They're the words that are used to beat them with. They hide behind GDPR. Well, move on from that by fixing it and by getting to the point where you can turn around and you can go, right, we can't be beaten with that stick anymore because now it's sorted. We have put this in place so that therefore that will happen and that will move on.
Or just use a Google form.
But it's such a massive Simple. Thing that with such massive implications towards a football club that you'd think take some time out to think how can we do this and get all of our members to vote on
their argument is that they didn't have the time, right? Because they needed to trigger it by the Monday, I think it was.
But it's not like they didn't know about the original.
No, I agree. Yeah, I'm just saying I'm just saying that's their response. I've seen a few people kind of label that towards them, and that is their response. Well, we had to act quickly and stuff. I'm saying use a Google form and stuff. Their response, I think, to that, I saw someone else throw it their way, was, well, yeah, people would use fake email addresses and muddy the vote. Let's be honest, no one's going to do that. You'd rather that than 200 people vote. Yeah. I'd rather 1,000, of which 50 maybe are a bit dodge.
Yeah, well, this is it, isn't it? I mean, it's...
I just think, on the voting thing, what did they expect? They were going to get hammered for it by not opening it up to everybody. You can't claim...
Do you know, though, I will stand here right now and argue on their behalf for that, because they're a membership organisation.
True.
And so, therefore, they need to... It's their members who they are... you know, trying to represent. It isn't the whole fan base. They believe that they are, that by having, 700 odd members, 710 members, that is...
Well, no, hold on, 300 odd members really, haven't they?
Well, no, 710 people have signed up and are, paying annually or they've paid a life membership.
I'd be interested to know how many are life members. I mean, they've only... So how many email addresses did they say they've got?
350 that they've got.
350, of which 250 were
able to be contacted. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. So, yeah.
I mean, okay. Look, but despite that, the fact is that they are there to represent their members. It's the same thing with my running club, is that we hold an AGM and I wouldn't turn... We hold our AGM in a pub. Just happened a couple of weeks ago. And we had a room in the side of the pub. Now, when we were voting for our chairman, I wouldn't have opened the doors and said, hang on a minute, guys, you're all from the same area. Would you just come and vote to see which one of these idiots is going to be our next chairman for the next year?
But that's not the same comparison, is it?
I know it's not, but it's the best that I've got right now. The fact is that they're a membership organisation, so that therefore they need to represent their members. Ooh, they do not need to represent those that don't belong to their membership.
So therefore, what essentially then, that becomes not elitist, but if you are a member of the trust, your voice is more important than if you're not.
In their opinion, for their particular things. Yes.
Okay. Understood.
But not for the football club. I don't, they're not saying that you're not for the football supporter. Club. Yeah,
yeah. They are to them because they're saying, essentially what they're saying in that point is, if you're a member of, you'll get a say on things. If you're not, you won't get a say on things.
Well, you only get a say on their things.
Yeah, but that
So the say is whether or not the supporters trust invoke the ACV. That was the question that was being asked. They weren't asking, so they're asking their members whether they should do it on their behalf. The vote came out as being just about yes, that you should, from their members. Now, the wider fan base may well turn around and say, well, no, but they're the wider fan base. They're not meant to be. They are meant to. This is where I find it difficult, because I agree with you, Neil. Right?
But this is a difficult point, isn't it?
But the fact is that they are a membership organisation, and they are there to represent their members. They ask their members a question as to what they should do as an organisation, and their members voted. And their members, their members voted in favour of invoking the ACV and trying to purchase the land. The wider fan base, of which there are obviously more people, then turn around and go, this is crazy, or this is, you should never have done this, and rah rah rah, and make like images with the trust logo crossed out as their social media handle pictures and things like that.
It's a big stream.
It's all of this sort of stuff happens in this day and age. You see it, and most of it is just, waffle, thin air, in the air. It isn't massively important. However, the fact is that they've done that and they've asked their membership and a percentage of the membership did respond. And then another percentage of that percentage responded in the way that they chose to go.
Yeah.
You know, look, I voted. I voted no. I exercised that democratic right kind of thing as a member of the trust. If I wasn't a member, I wouldn't have been able to have voted no.
Their argument is, isn't it? Well, look, come and join us and change us from within. The last thing I want to do is go and spend some time with a couple of those people specifically who, quite frankly, I find come across very rude and a bit horrible. I don't want to go and spend time with those type of people. I don't need that in my life. So, no, I will just moan on a podcast instead.
Well, that's it. And this is the thing. And, you know, that's where we're sort of at with it, isn't it? Is that we're here. We're sharing our opinion. We're able to do it on here. You know, they share it through their statements and you know, the people personally share it through their own social media.
You know, the good news is two of the board members have agreed to come on to the podcast.
Have they?
They have.
Yeah. Are they waiting to hear this episode before they actually agree and accept the
invitation? I will reach out once this episode goes out and just double check if they want to.
Look, it's one of those, like we said, like Danny said at the very beginning of this discussion, is that it you know, these are our personal opinions and personal thoughts. Now, you know, they're based on, for me personally, it's based on me having actually gone and watched a board meeting take place. You know, I won't go into any more detail, but I won't be going to another one.
You might not be welcome after this, Joel.
Well, maybe not, but I mean, you know, by the by, I won't be going
membership
to
membership revoked.
If that's what they want to do, and they want to reduce their membership down to 709. Okay.
Shall we move on towards the bulging sack, do you think?
Yeah, let's take a short break. And when we return, I like what has been just written into the running order while we've been ranting here. Daddy's going to perform a rap. I mean, look, I'm looking forward to that. Let's take a very short break. Back in a moment. Welcome back to It's All Cobblers to Me. It's time to dip into Neil's sack now and find out what you've got to say about all things Northampton Town. You can send your thoughts to us at podcast@cobblerstome.com or find us on social media where we're at Cobblers to Me on both Twitter and Facebook. Before we go to Neil and find out what's in the sack, ridiculously, Danny has promised to perform us a rap.
Come on, Danny.
What have you got for us?
I can't rap.
You've got to. It's in the running order.
What do you do on Christmas Eve? Come on.
Hey. I'm not going to tell you, Charles. Private.
Yeah, he fills his stocking.
What's the rap about? Sam?
Yes.
Yeah, of course.
Goals. Wham, bam. Thank you, Sam. 50 goals. And flicks and ham.
Oh, and it's not. I'm not sure it's chart material.
No, it's not exactly Dave or Stormzy, is it?
It's no cheeky girls.
It's no cheeky girls. No.
By the way, could I just say how ridiculously cool it is that there is a rapper called Dave?
Oh, yeah.
Just simply Dave.
Oh, there's also a TV show, isn't there?
A TV channel.
Dave.
Oh, okay.
Well, and a TV channel with Dave. Popular name.
Brilliant name. Brilliant name for a rapper. Dave. Brilliant song as well about Thiago Silva. Love that song. Anyway. It's time to read your letters out, but things have changed, so listen out. If you want to write about Northampton Town, you'll need to write this next bit down. Just have a rant, or just some fun, at podcast@cobblerstome.com. No matter if we lose or win, send us your thoughts. Come on, get them in. Postbag time. What's in the sack this week, Neil?
It is bulging. Oh,
bulge it.
Yes, bulging.
A bulging Easter special sack.
Ooh,
that's what they call it.
Ooh.
A couple of eggs in there.
Are there any eggs in your sack?
There is numerous. No, the dog's already got to them, obviously.
Bloody dog.
Well, that sounds weird, actually. No. realised. First one's from Gareth Kingston.
Hi, Gareth.
Do the pod folk worry that when they go on other clubs' preview pods, they might give away some info that helps the opposition? No, Gareth, because we are all morons. So absolutely, we don't have that worry at all, I don't think.
We're not exactly tactical geniuses, are we?
No. Mm. What we might give away, they're a bit weird down in Northampton. That's probably the best we'll give away.
Yeah. I mean, Danny, you went on Oldham's Latix football phone-in.
Yeah, that was fun. That was a phone-in. Yeah, they actually had a
phone-in.
Phone-in, yeah. You know, like we did with Facebook Live that time.
Oh, yeah.
You can invite people on. So basically like that, but people would dial in and get on.
Oh, amazing.
And for some reason, they asked me on. I don't think I gave away any tactics. I mean, it probably didn't work if the game's anything to
go. Were you on screen, Danny?
I was on screen, yeah. I had to put my shirt on and everything.
Ooh.
It was great fun.
He didn't go retro, though. I had a look at... I watched it back on the replay afterwards. Yeah. Noticed that you went with a very up-to-date shirt.
Oh, it was this season's shirt, yeah. Yeah,
while the Oldham fellas...
The Oldham one had their Premier League one on, didn't he?
Yes!
Yeah, it was vintage. I enjoyed that. I don't think I've got any vintage shirts that would fit now, to be fair.
Oh, that's a shame. Yeah. Is that because you've grown upwards or outwards?
Both.
Or both.
Yeah.
Fair enough.
Can relate.
Yeah. we should do that one day. Have a phone in.
Yeah, we have a phone in.
Shall we?
Yeah.
After Barrow, when we've
after Barrow, yeah,
we're phoning. Get a few beers on the go. It'd be beautiful.
That would be good. Yeah, I don't ever worry about giving away any kind of information because I'm not that clever when it comes to football, as I'm sure over the last 3.5 years you've all discovered. No.
Well, I gave away that we scored most of our goals from set pieces, and they said, "Oh, we were right with set pieces, didn't they?"
And they weren't.
That worked.
They weren't, were they?
Oh, brilliant!
Do you want another, Charles?
Yes, please.
Melbourne cobbler from all the way down under.
International mail.
With his six ovens.
Yeah, he's got a lot of ovens.
Six ovens.
I also know that he had a bit of strife at the water park.
He did. Did you see the video he said? I'm sorry, if you're not in the Patreon, you won't understand this, but maybe if you sign up, you'll get there.
I did see the video. I would question if it is a water park.
I don't think that's a water park. That's more of
an inflatable.
It's an inflatable.
There's one of those at Billing Aquatrope. There is one at Billing. So I'm not sure it's a water park.
I did like the fact that he said that they'd put nets up to keep the sharks out.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, you don't have that problem at Billing.
You don't have that at Billing.
Or trolleys. anyway, so Melbourne Cobbler says, when John Brady was named manager, it was declared this was to be a new dawn and a markedly different way of doing things with long-term considerations at the fore of the strategy. Mm. Assuming a 3-year plan, what does the panel believe would be a par performance for seasons 1, 2, and 3? And where are we within that strategy currently?
Mm-hmm. That's a great question. Enjoyed the use of panel.
I did.
Yes, there. Yes.
That overstating us a bit, I think.
It's like match of the day. Which one of us is Ian Wright and which one's Alan Shearer, Danny?
I'm going to call you Ian Wright.
Oh, am I the overexcitable one? I like that.
Neil's can
definitely
be...
Micah Richards.
Yes.
So everyone likes him, but also everyone hates him.
Yes.
That's how I feel about Micah Richards.
No one hates Micah Richards, though.
No, you can only take him for so long and then you're like, shut the fuck up, Micah.
Even Roy Keane likes Micah Richards. How?
True, that's true.
Graham Souness, on the fence.
Graham Souness. Danny is...
Careful. You better not say Gina, so I'm going to have a tantrum.
I was going to say Danny Murphy.
Danny
Murphy?
Reborn,
you're not. No, you're not.
Yeah, write in, folks, with your suggestions.
Yeah, there we go. Yeah, who could Danny be?
Oh, what was the question?
Yeah. Three-year plan. Where does the panel believe would be a par performance for seasons 1, 2, and 3? Where are we within that strategy currently?
What would the 3-year plan be, though? What's the end goal? That's
solidify our position in League One. I would say we're on track.
Yeah, I'd say par would be playoffs this season.
Okay.
I think. Maybe. Yeah, I think par would be playoffs this year. Mm. Maybe not.
Yeah, so you'd say for the 3-year plan, we would
have a go this year, definitely go up next year. And
definitely go up next year and then stay up the year after properly and be mid-table. Yeah.
Oh, you see,
solidify it.
I get where you're coming from with that, that overall three, but I wouldn't have said that this year was necessarily a playoff.
Yes.
For the par. Yes, for is. Par. I mean, yes, for par.
Well, you would say rebuild mid-table this year, yes. Promotion next year.
Yes.
Okay.
And then we're potentially
ahead.
Yeah, yeah. We're and then of... stay up for in year three. So yeah. Therefore, you've then... Not necessarily at that point. I wouldn't say that you've solidified in League One because obviously we all know that we can only remain there for one or two seasons at a time. However, no, for a 3-year
consolidate plan, it.
Yeah, for a 3-year plan, I'd say
consolidate
we're
your loans.
I'd say we're ahead of it at the moment.
Do that again. There we go. We're doing all right, basically. I think that's yeah. The-
I think so.
Yeah, well, I'd say we're on track.
There was something else in the Slack, Charles, ooh, this week celebrating right. The. For 6-year anniversary of Exeter.
Oh, it was, wasn't it?
And they, I think Malcolm Butler put it in the Slack about.
Oh, yeah.
With some photos of Bukes on someone's shoulders.
Yeah.
Malcolm in the crowd with his two hands waving. What a day.
Was he in the middle?
It's like the crap spin off to Malcolm in the crowd. Malcolm in the crowd. That's not a slight at Malcolm, by the way, it's the show, I mean. Malcolm in the crowd.
Oh dear!
I mean, Malcolm in the Barrow on the last day is going up there.
Malcolm in the Barrow.
Good.
They were. Omen. I tell you what, they were really good pictures. I think I could even spot myself on one of them.
Oh, could you
spot it?
Is Bukes on your shoulders, Neil?
No. I'm not strong enough.
Which player did? Can you remember, Neil? Which player you ran to? Did you run to a player?
John Joe O'Toole.
Of course, yes, you did. Did you get near him?
Yeah, obvious one.
Did you get near him?
Yeah, I think I touched his hair.
Oh. Have you washed your hands?
Yeah, I did get near him. No. Still, I haven't. 6 years on.
Yeah, I was going to say, you've just admitted to not washing your hands for a worldwide pandemic that lasted for 2 years. But, you know, awkward.
Hands, face, space.
brilliant. Have you got an opinion on the Cobblers or a question for us? Do send them our way to podcast@cobblerstome.com or cobblerstome on social media. Quick NTFC women update.
Yes.
Sorry, I'm laughing because I can see the running order. And Danny has just written, everyone is pegging it.
It's basically what's happened the last 2 weeks in a row. The sides that we were supposed to be playing, I think Rice Park were one. Was it Leicester maybe? The other one? Yeah. Both of them called their games off at quite late. At the last minute. Rice Park were like 10 minutes before kickoff, I think. So yeah. Suddenly turned around and went, nope, run away.
I don't fancy it.
Basically
was
turned
it really?
They turned up to the park and saw some bigger kids knocking around and thought, I don't fancy this, and going home. One stop and...
She just drove through the car park and carried on driving.
Oh, dear. Brilliant. So instead,
we should get wins for that. That's ridiculous. We're not getting like an automatic win for 10 minutes.
That late, yeah, agree.
Stupid. Yeah.
It should be. But there's an argument, isn't there, that it wouldn't do our goal difference as much benefit as actually playing those
games
would.
That's about plus 300 anyway, isn't it? So,
yeah, it should be, shouldn't it? So instead, this weekend, they played an inter-squad friendly. I don't know what happened in that, but one thing that I will say is that I did see Abby Bruin with her boots on.
Oh, that's good. That's
so
good.
I mean, if anything, Mr. Like Lay's Abby helping. Might be back.
Yeah. Were they... Boonoots.
But no. Yeah. Well, I couldn't see. She was stood at the back, so I couldn't actually see her boots, in fairness.
Wonder whether she'd purchase some new boots, especially for the return.
New boots. Everyone loves new boots. Does love their new boots. So they have got their running. So there's 7 games left to play. I'm just going to fire open the old twits, which tells me everything that I need to know about them. And hopefully find it.
Find it.
It might take a bit of time. Phil for me, Danny.
Time it.
What do you want me to do? Phil?
Phil.
Phil. Phil. Be Phil. Be Phil Mitchell.
Phil the Power Taylor. So
here we go. I've got
a league table while we get Chesterfield. We've played 17 games. They've got 39 points. We've played 12 games. That's 5 games in hand, going by my fingers.
Okay.
And there's a 7-point gap. So we should be able to make that up, you would think.
I think so.
Does that mean Chesterfield have lost the game? Ooh, I feel like it was a bit tighter than that before. So they've won. They won today. No, they didn't. Yeah, they won today. They won on Sunday. Sorry, they won the other day. They drew one against Rotherham, so that's held them up a bit. That's the dropped points, which is what we like to see.
It is.
There we go. So we've got a chance push on. We've got to win. We've got to keep winning. So but I think the next couple have got Mansfield, don't we, in the league? So that's going to be
So there are 7 games, by the looks of it, left in the season for NTFC Women to play, starting with the County Cup final against that lot from the other end of the Nen that can't pronounce it properly. That's on Sunday. Then we play Mansfield away, followed by Mansfield at home. Then we've got Rice Park. They're the ones that...
Splitters.
Yeah. Followed by Lincoln United Women at home. And then that's Leicester City at home. And then finishing off the season with Notts County away. So there you go.
To Nottingham.
Mm. All up to Nottingham, do we think? On the, it's an evening game, that one.
Oh, yes. This will go.
Oh, is it an evening game? Oh, no, that's not an evening game. I read that as being 1905 kickoff rather than it being 1905.
I was on my way.
1905 kickoff.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. It's already 2022. That's a bit weird, isn't it? Yes, it's the 19th of May.
19th of May.
Yeah, is the one that we're looking for there. So there
it's been a long pod, Charles.
It has. It's been a very long pod. Shall we end it?
End it.
Right. Okay.
End it.
Thank you very much. That's your lot. Coming up later this week, we've got the next episode in our Wembley 97 series as I chat to former Radio Northampton and BBC Radio 5 live commentator Mike Sewell. And on the preview show this Friday, Danny and I will be speaking to a Leighton Orient fan. Thanks for listening. If you enjoy the podcast and want to help us to keep making episodes, you can join the fan club on Patreon, where you'll get access to even more podcasts and our community on Slack that we've talked about quite a bit this week. To sign up, just go to patreon.com/cobblers2me. It's just £2 a month. That's it. Thank you very much. Have a great week of the Cobblers.
Way! There's the cup. There's the pictures you'll see on tomorrow's back pages. The Cobblers are going through into Division 1. Bring them on because we deserve it.
All boys, cheeky girls. All boys, cheeky girls. Ooh, girls, cheeky boys. You never ask, where do you go? You never ever ask, where do you do? You never ever ask what's in your mind. You never ever ask if you'll be mine. Come on, smile. Don't be shy. Touch my bum. This is life. We are the cheeky girls. We are the cheeky girls. Cheeky, cheeky.
This podcast is a proud member of the FanHub 100. Football without fans is nothing, so we've partnered with FanHub to put fans first. Search FanHub app to play your part in the journey.